Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Welcome to Mum's the Word, the parenting podcast,
where we answer the questions you want to hear about parenthood
and provide you with real, honest advice for every stage of your parenting journey.
Whether you're a parent-to-be, a new mum like me, navigating those sleepless nights,
or a more experienced parent facing the challenges of raising older kids like me,
we've got you covered with relatable stories, expert insights, and plenty of laughs along the way.
So grab your headphones, a cup of coffee, or maybe something stronger,
and let's get real about parenting.
We're not going to be sugarcoating anything. From punamis to piles, nothing is off limits at Mum's the Word.
It's a podcast for all the parents out there, our own little club.
Mum's the Word.
Listen wherever you get your podcast from.
And hit follow so you don't miss an episode.
Welcome back. And if you're new here, this is Loose Lips. We get into it. And by we, I mean the lovely Sophie Brown and me, Robin Richford. We tackle all different types of topics, things that are bothering you or things that have been brought up over a glass of wine with our friends in your late 20s and early 30s.
Yeah, we certainly do. And we also have our Extra Lippy episode, which is all about our listeners, where you guys send in any dilemmas or issues. It might be about an episode of the pod. It might just be a life experience, relationship, career, whatever it is. But please keep sending them in because we love giving you our advice. So you can do that on the Instagram at the Loose Lips Podcast, or you can email it in contact@looselipspodcast.com.
Beautifully done, Sophie. She winked and did, like, you know, like the little double yeah, you got this. That was Sophie. Nicely done, babe.
I immediately take that back.
Honestly, I think it's cute. I was proud of you. I was like, look at her nailing that intro.
Nailed it. I've had a real issue with this email, guys. I don't know why. I just get a mind block every time I read it, and I did nail it that time. I'll have that.
She is a presenter, ladies and gents.
Woo! So professional.
So professional. I love it. Also, I am loving you doing the racing. Are you enjoying it?
I am loving it. I am in my element. I'm from Cheltenham, if anyone didn't know, and they've got very big race meets. They've got the Cheltenham race course. It's fantastic. Nothing compares. I am biased, but I've always been since I was a kid, and then I got the opportunity to work with Race Day TV. So they do all the crowd stuff. It's all really fun. So they have the license on all the courses to go and speak to the crowd. So, you know, it's about everything. It's some of like the horse stuff, but it's also like outfits and just fun and what people think about the races. And yeah, I just love it. And I was at York Racecourse at the weekend. First time I've been there. That's a great one, actually. I tell you what, that's a pretty...
York is nice. Well, it's just a beautiful place as well, York anyway, isn't it? And so their race course is quite close, isn't it? So the city centre, is that right?
Yeah, it wasn't far. I came into the station and it wasn't far at all to get there. So it's like... They tend not to be, actually. So I've done a few now. I was in Scotland last month, so I went up to Scotland.
Yeah.
That was fun, but I didn't get much time there. So I came into Glasgow and then went to Ayr, and I was maybe going to do a night in Glasgow, but it just didn't work out like that. So came back to Manchester. Oh my gosh, tell you what though, on the way back, we like rushed to get the last train back. It was at like 6:40 or whatever. Mm-hmm. Got cancelled. Little did I know that every day since the Wednesday, and this was the Saturday, it had been cancelled. If I'd have known that the last train had been for days, I wouldn't even have bothered, obviously.
Oh, no.
We waited 2 hours for a bus to turn up. And there was to take us to Carlisle. And then we were going to get a train.
Oh, babe, never.
The buses never came. Shania Twain was on that night. That's why it was so busy. It was also the races.
Yeah.
We got taxis all the way to our destinations. So I got a taxi with four randomers all the way to Manchester from Glasgow.
Shut up.
Yeah. How mad is that?
That's so fun though.
I mean, but it was late at night. None of us were chatting.
Oh, right. Yeah. Well, that's the thing. That's the thing, right? So there's nothing worse, is there? I find this, see, if you offer someone a lift and it's a really long journey and you're like, oh God, I need to talk this whole way. It's horrid, isn't it?
Yeah. I made claim to the front seat. I was like, it was really awful waiting that long. And I know everybody had to do it. I don't mean it was just like that for me, but it was just like, I started looking at hotels, but they were really expensive on the Saturday night. You know, when you just feel stuck, I was like, oh, yeah. I don't really know what to do here. And I committed to going home. So I felt like I should just keep going on. But yeah, I asked the people if they'd mind if I sat in the front, because I just really felt like I needed like my own space. Like, I have ADHD and I never really attribute anything to it, to be honest. But then I'm like, you should, because you're literally diagnosed. But things like small spaces and like waiting in queues and things like that, like it really makes me like quite angsty. Like I'm right. Quite like, and the whole experience just made me a bit. So I was like, I'm just going to see if they'll let me sit in the front. And they did.
Oh, that was lucky. I really feel for the person in the middle.
Yeah, I thought, but to be fair, actually, I think he had an all right amount of space.
Did he?
Because he was like, but it was, and it was these two lads, right? This lovely, lovely lady that had visited someone for the day. And that's how long her journey took.
Oh.
I know. And she had flowers and everything from the person she'd visited and things. Bless her. She was really lovely. And then these two boys were from Manchester and they flew back from their holiday to Scotland because it was cheaper.
Oh, no.
And then they had to travel back.
God, how much was? Do you know what's amazing though? It wouldn't even be the money. It'd be finding a taxi driver that would do it.
So this was the problem. They couldn't get the buses because it was so busy that night, Saturday night and the concert and stuff. And they got like enough taxis for 80 people, I think it was. But I'm talking like people were there with all of their, so these boys had their luggage, but they were putting people to Birmingham and stuff that were like six seaters, but with loads of luggage. Like, this is what I mean about I was like a bit worried about sort of like sitting in the back of it, because it was all like, I don't know, it was all very intense. Like, you know, you're going with complete randomers, loads of luggage, like the car's full, driving a ring dong way. It was quite a lot. Like, it was
a lot. Amazing though, they put cars on. I'm surprised they did that.
Well, right, this is the thing, not to go into the National Rail at the moment, but it is an absolute joke. I mean,
oh, it is an absolute joke.
How much would it have cost them to put us all in taxi?
I know, that's what I mean.
The reason that they didn't do that train is because they didn't have enough staff or whatever. And it's like, you know, at least if there was a mechanical fault or something.
Yes.
It's just like, you know, I'll put an apron on. Get me in there. I'll help you out. But I was just...
Choo-choo. Can you imagine Soph and like dressed as Thomas the Tank Engine?
I'd get me in there. I'd help out. I just, yeah, it's just, it's crazy. And I wonder, it must have cost them so much money to do that.
This is the whole thing, right? Because I know obviously they did the strikes and everything, didn't they? Because of the wages and all of that sort of thing. And then the company were like, I'm not willing to pay it. But they must be losing so much money.
I know.
Like, it's actually ridiculous. Like, I now don't really get the train down to London. I tend to fly just because... For such a long time, they were so unreliable.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I can't do it. But then, yeah, Manchester, there's not much choice because you would literally go up and come back down.
Yeah. Like, I have looked at flying before, but it's just not the set. Like, it's, yeah, you can, it's frustrating because you can get a two-hour train.
Yeah.
And, like, you have big events and things like that and you're like, oh my God, I'm like, can I make it down there and stuff? It's just, yeah. But obviously I understand there's a bigger issue, but it is such a knock-on effect.
Oh yeah, absolutely is. But at least you got to sit on the front, Soph.
Yeah, no.
That's what we've taken for that story.
Oh, you know, because that makes...
I'm joking.
You're right.
I'm joking.
It was awful, all right? And I had a really long day. I'd been working. Come on now. But yeah,
no,
to go back to the point that this started from. I'm absolutely loving doing my racing stuff.
Oh, also, I just thought of something that actually is ridiculous. Oh my God, from that story. I live in Glasgow, Soph. You could have rang me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I did not even think about that.
The thing is, I was so in it at that point.
You're just not thinking, are you?
And I suppose I also had a hotel that was like, because they booked it part of me like working there, but not in Glasgow. It was in Ayr, which was an hour away. So we panicked to get the last train because we realized what we would have made it. So we got there and everything. I had loads of time. Like I was an hour early for this last train. Only missed one before by like 10 minutes, but I never aimed to get that one. So I was just like, I'm not traveling all the way to Ayr to stay over in this hotel to then come back again. I was like, look, I'm in it now. So even if I get home at 1, 2 a.m., I'll just be in my bed and I don't know.
No, I do know what you mean. There is something about getting home, isn't there?
Oh, yeah.
Something about getting home. Right, let's do it, because otherwise we're just going to talk about trains and journeys for 40 minutes and nobody wants that. Especially not us, to be fair. This week, we're actually talking about something that I guess like consumes a lot of people, but also is maybe just not spoken about that often, I don't feel. We're going to talk about worry and worrying. And kind of what that means and how that kind of like looks. Would you say that you're a bit of a worrier, Soph?
I don't think I'm a worrier. I think I'm more of a stress panicker, like just before things. Like I don't think I'm a worrier. I think, I'll tell you what though, I would hate to be a worrier. Like I've got friends that worry a lot and it really affects their lives. And I just think it's like, it's so shit. Like, I can't imagine what it's like to literally worry about everything. And you can only tell someone so many times and like, they can't necessarily help it. But I'm glad I'm not that bad. I think I'm more of a bit of a panic stressor because I'm quite like last minute about things. So that's probably my own fault.
Yeah, like a last minute push rather than like, I don't know. When I was younger, I was definitely a worrier. Like I was, like they used to say, oh my, like, so I had like alopecia. And I also had like warts on my hands.
Oh,
and apparently they're really like big signs of like just worry.
Right. But
I never used to know what I was worrying about. Like my mum used to always be like, you know, like, oh, like what are you worried about? And I'm like, nothing. Like literally nothing. But like my body was saying something completely different. So I think I might be quite like a deep worrier maybe rather than a, like, I don't worry about the day to day. Things don't worry me. Like I wouldn't be like, oh my gosh, like, you know, this might happen and have I said the right thing or things like that just don't, I don't really mind. Like things, I don't know, but I think I maybe am a bit of a worrier in terms of like my future or like kind of like longer term maybe.
Yeah, no, I get what you mean. I think that you're right. And I think probably people are very different with like worrying. Like some people do worry about those tiny things, you know, all the time and the day-to-day stuff. I think I'm probably similar, like the bigger stuff. I also think that a lot of the way that I react to things, which is not a good thing, like I think that I probably need to like address things more like as they kind of hit me, but I kind of like put it to the back and like I don't really think about it, and then I think it does come out in different ways. Like I'll get really ill or something and then my mum or whatever would be like, that's because, you know, you've had this blah, 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 and you've been burning the candle at both ends and you've been stressed about this or whatever. And I'm like, yeah, you're probably right. Like I don't really outwardly stress or worry about things, but I definitely internalize it.
Yeah, thank you, mate. And honestly, all you need to do is get an Apple Watch or fitness watch and that will humble you in seconds when it comes to stress levels. Like, honestly, I couldn't believe it. Bless you.
Wow.
Our Soph's a little ill today.
So yeah,
she's,
sorry, guys.
She's hanging on in. She's great. She's doing good. But yeah, I didn't realise until I got my Apple Watch, like, at what, how often I actually was in that really high stress level.
Gosh, yeah.
And what's mental is sometimes I'll just be sitting so and I'll be like, I'll go mental. And I will have no idea what I'm thinking about. Well, I know what I'm thinking about, but I have no idea what I'm worrying about. That's quite scary, isn't it?
Have you ever had like a therapist or had therapy or
anything? Yeah. I have had therapy. I kind of mentioned it actually in the last episode, but basically, without going into it, I basically had like an emergency operation and basically it came in the middle of the pandemic and it meant like, I mean, like I was in hospital bed for obviously like a week, like couldn't walk, like TMI, couldn't even wee you myself, you know, like it was that kind of level. Like, but yeah, and like it took me about 4 weeks to manage to walk for 5 minutes.
Yeah,
so it was like physically really like not great, but in terms of mentally I really really struggled because it was a pandemic. I was kind of I just finished my TV contract, and so it was that really awkward state, I don't know if you remember, where like things were opening, so everyone was like, we're back to normal, and then like my work wasn't back to normal at all, and so I was like financially cacking my pants because I couldn't work because I'd just gone through this operation and whatnot. Anyway, I'd become such a worrier then, and like was just worrying about absolutely everything. I can't remember how it came around, but basically like the film and TV charity like reached out and said, listen, you can get therapy here and blah blah blah. So yeah, I actually did do therapy for the first time, and that was only a couple of years ago.
Yeah,
I don't know, it's so funny, like everyone has different, I guess, understandings or like feelings about therapy. I feel like it's quite a loaded topic actually.
Yeah.
Of whether you should do it. Have you done it?
No. So, well, I brought it up because I think it's, I want to, I sillily haven't over the years, and I feel like it's definitely something that I should do, but it's one of those, it's like, oh, it's expensive, or oh, then I have to find the therapist that fits. People say, you know, or they might go through a few before they actually kind of like get on with the person, you know. But no, I really want to, because I think that there's a lot of things like that I want to get off my chest, and things that probably do like worry me day to day that I just kind of like, yeah, just bury. But I always find it interesting, like I in America it's literally like everybody has a therapist, everybody talks about it, like, you know. Yeah. And such an open conversation. But I feel like in the UK it's a bit more, I don't know, I think we're becoming more open to it and things, because I think, god, you know, obviously not everyone has access. I'm not saying everybody should. Like, I understand people can't, but like, you know, me personally, I definitely want to. That's something that I want to do soon, like imminently.
Mm. It's such an interesting one, because as someone that's, you know, went to therapy, and I think it's actually really important to say, like, I do think that it is a very privileged thing in a lot of ways. It's not something that everyone can afford because it's so expensive.
Yeah.
And then that adds a financial burden as well. And so then it's almost counterintuitive. You know, like, I don't know. I do think that it's quite a thing. Like, my mum, for instance, like, my mum and dad, they're from, like, quite a working class background. And it's really interesting sometimes, like, if I'm worrying about things or things I'm concerned about, my mum would say, like, oh, you're lucky that's what you've got to worry around. You know, like,
yeah.
And sometimes you forget, like, how privileged you are, in the sense that, like, you know, when you're just doing the basics to survive, you don't have time to worry. You just don't. Like, it's so interesting, like,
yeah,
how, you know, and I know I'm not saying that distinguishes anything anyone's worrying about, because I also do believe, like, if it's bothering you, it's bothering you, and it's okay. Yeah. Like, but I don't know, as someone that's been to therapy, like, I think it was good, but for me that was such an extreme moment in my life. I don't know that I would need to go,
right,
like unless it was something, but everyone's different, right? So everyone's, yeah, like, everyone's like, oh, it's almost like a maintenance thing. It's almost like going to the gym for some people, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But for me, I'm like, I am still a little bit of the understanding. I don't know if it's old school, but I'm a little bit of the understanding of, like, sometimes it's like opening Pandora's box.
Yeah. Well, that's my concern. Like, I'm like, I've not been for this amount of time. And I'm like, well, you know, if you go now, like, where do you even start? And then it's like that thing of like, is it just going to make everything worse? Like, you know, is it worth it to kind of like, but I'm like that with a lot of things, like with my ADHD meds, like I don't take them. And it's like, it's because I'm kind of like, well, I've lived this long without, you know, having to, yeah, use them and things. And it's like, well, it's so hard. And I completely agree with you. Like, things like therapy are complete privilege. Like, it costs a lot of money, and it's not something that people can just have access to. But it's a difficult one. Like, I do think it should be normalized more in the way of, yeah, I don't know. I've got some people that say it's, you know, changed their life. And then, but a lot of people do it like you did, like reactionary, whatever that, you know, it's like a,
yeah,
rather than, you know, having it as a regular thing, like something will happen in their life, and then that's when they'll talk to someone. That tends to be the case a lot.
Yeah. Like, they just need a little helping hand for a short period of time.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's great for that. It's almost like a wee crutch just to kind of get you going again.
Hello, my name is Mark Thompson, your guide aboard the Constellation Station podcast. Tune in every Monday for your weekly guide to all things going on in the skies above the UK that week. From meteor showers to comets and eclipses to supernova explosions, I will have it all. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Acast, or wherever you get your podcasts from. But until then, let's hope for some clear skies.
But I do think, see, if you're a person that is naturally a little bit of a worrier or an overthinker, I sometimes think having more time to think and more time to talk about it isn't necessarily a good thing, because I think you can like talk yourself into a flap.
Yeah.
I've got one friend that like went to therapy. She went years ago. I remember when we were quite young, I'd say like early 20s maybe. And honestly, I think it was the worst thing she ever did.
Yeah.
And I don't know how she feels about it now, but like, she just went from someone that was like so, we lived together, so I wouldn't say that it was a facade, because you can't keep a facade, you know, 24/7. So, but like, yeah, I don't know. I just wondered if like it actually helped, or if actually it was just gave her more time to analyze her life and analyze her decisions and worry about them. Like, I almost think it almost added time to it rather than maybe something else that would be just as equally therapeutic, like joining like a team or, you know, like something, or going out with friends, or, you know, like I find that I get such good therapy from going out with friends.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Never underestimate the power of a girl's night.
Literally though. And do you know what frustrates me so much? It's not till after it that I'm like, why didn't I do that sooner?
Yeah.
I needed that. Why didn't I do it sooner?
Even just seeing that certain friend, or like, you know, going for that dinner, or going out for drinks, it makes such a big difference.
They do say as well, we're like a generation of worriers, don't they? Because of like our phones and the news and everyone's got an opinion on social media and things like that. Do you think that's true?
Yeah, I think it's like innately in us now, unfortunately. Like, I think this next generation, like, it'd be difficult not to worry. Like, you've got so many things as well, like, you know, comparison all the time on social media, you know, like you're constantly worrying that you're not good enough or.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Add someone else, and then, like, you know, whether you're in a relationship or not, you've got all this like competition on social media, and you're worried about, you know, other girls that are on there, and that I think that adds a massive like curveball into it. And a lot people are like a lot more susceptible to stuff like that. Like, these people that worry a lot are unfortunately like more susceptible to feeling a lot more of those kind of like, you know, feeling like they're or that competitiveness that's on social media and things like that. Like I've had friends be kind of like so overwhelmed by that, that like it really affects them, or like they have to take themselves off social media and things like, and it does get to that point. But it's a scary prospect. Like, I worry because I really want kids, but it's difficult because I'm just like, what's it gonna fucking look like then?
How difficult
is it gonna be then? And what can I even say as like their mother to help them? You know, like, I think it's so difficult. Like, yeah.
It is funny. I think you're right. Like, I guess it is maybe like a funny word, worry, if you know what I mean. Because I go, oh, I'm not really a worrier, is like my initial kind of reaction. Yeah. But then I guess when you say it like that, like if you take into consideration like comparison and like seeing other people living their lives and thinking, I want to do that. And can I do that? And, you know, I definitely, definitely have done that and still do that. I'm like much better at catching if I am starting to kind of like think kind of badly about myself or like kind of worry about things or, you know, looking at other people's lives. And sometimes I'll be like, oh, Robin, what are you doing? You know, but as a general rule, I wouldn't say that I would sit and like worry about it. But I know that definitely if you're feeling down, that is not the place to go.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I think, no, I'm the same. Like I would not label myself as a worrier. Like, I think I can, like I said, get a bit stressed or worked up about certain things or whatever. But like, generally, I don't think I worry. Like, there's that saying that's like, you know, if you worry about something before it's happened, like you're worrying twice. Like, I'm more likely to get stressed or whatever, like just before. But the problem is if you internalize it much before it happens. The kind of things I do is like, and I don't think this is really worrying. I think it's more just, I don't know, mentally preparing. But things like, I know in the past when I've had to hand my notice in, if I've known about that for like, you know, a week or a couple of weeks, I'll think about it every night before I go to sleep and I'll like dream about it even. Like it's kind of like eats up my brain, but not even in a negative way. I'm talking like I'll just play out how I'm going to do it in my head or what I'm going to say or how it's going to go down. Like it's weird. Like I wouldn't necessarily say I'm sat there worrying about it. I mean, no, that is kind of what worrying is, I guess, if you're thinking about it before. But it's just the way my brain works. I think everybody's different in the way that they approach things. But like certain things like that are like pre-plan it in my head a long time before it happens.
It's interesting, isn't it? I feel like in my head as well, like I'll literally play out all the different scenarios and then you go in there and it's not one of them.
Well, this is the thing. You do it every time. Exactly. Same. That's literally what I do. Like I struggle with my sleep though. Like I am a night owl and I don't get it as much anymore, touch wood, but I used to get sleep paralysis quite a lot and it was just like, it was horrible and I wasn't getting much sleep and things like that. But I think about things, that's when I think about things like a lot. Like I know everybody does before they go to sleep, but like I really, really do in that time. That's when I kind of like just sit there and think of all my wrongdoings and all the things that, you know, are going to happen.
That's so true, actually. Because I would be like, oh, I don't really, but you're right. Like right before bed, like I could literally change my whole life right before bed.
Yeah.
That's when my brain is in overdrive, like worry, 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 worry. Like, you've not done this. You've not done that. You could have done this. You've made this mistake. Why did you say that? Da-da-da. And then you wake up in the morning and completely forget all about it.
Yeah.
So weird.
It's so true about sleeping on things because you honestly wake up with such a different perspective. Like that's one thing I would say, like, and I agree with the whole don't sleep on an argument and things like that. Cause I just think that like, once you wake up in the morning, you just have like a fresh perspective, like on no matter what it is. I'd also say with worrying and with like friendships and things, I'm not saying this like a controversial opinion, but I think it can be really hard when you have a friend that's like a massive, massive worrier. Like I've had it in the past where it can be quite hard to relate. Like and I know that it's affecting them massively and that's a really sad thing. This is what I mean. I'm very happy that I'm not a person that like literally worries about everything. But it can be very difficult because then they're literally like, every time they kind of speak about stuff, it's like negative.
Yeah.
Like everything is negative. They look into everything. And it's really difficult as a friend because there's only so many times you can say, oh, you know, you need not think about it like that. Or, you know, it's going to be all right and try this. Or why don't you do that? And I just know that I've had friendships like that in the past and it's really draining.
Yeah, I wonder. You know what, though? I think that's actually quite brave to say because I think a lot of people don't mention that. You know what I mean? Because they don't want to sound as if they're being insensitive or they're not compassionate.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like, I don't want it to come across like that. But, like, if I think about those friendships, like, it's really difficult because there's only so many times you can say it. And, like, you really care about them as a friend. And it's not that I'm being insensitive at all. It's just, it's difficult when it might also be something that you don't consider to be, like you said about the fact that, you know, especially previously in life, like, you know, further generations, they were just surviving, like, and they didn't have time to worry about things. But when you've got someone that's worrying about everything and you just think, I don't know, your life could just be so much more improved if you didn't, like, I just feel like, you know, you could get so much more out of your life and that makes me sad for them.
Yeah, I would love to know as well, like, if, do you think it's like a a biological thing, or is it, you know, is it something you create when you're a child? Or because I do think there is a thing of like some people just are lean slightly more towards optimism and some people are just slightly more pessimistic, and I wonder if there is anything like scientific, or if it just, you know, if it's, is it that nature nurture thing? I would love to know that, like, is it just, because I know I've definitely gone through periods of my life where I'm definitely looking at the glass as half empty. Right. But I wouldn't say that it is my natural default, or definitely wasn't, you know, growing up or in my early 20s. But, you know, I've gone, like, life kind of jades you a little bit sometimes. And, you know, you can go through a period of life where it's a year perhaps, or even just a couple of weeks, or where you're like, gosh, I'm, you know, you can almost feel yourself being more pessimistic, worrying about more things, yeah, looking at it like half empty. And like, I wonder if there is something also like of some people just are like that, like,
yeah,
I don't know, and then they have to use their energy to be positive. You know, which is exhausting, I guess, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I think that is the case, and it's like unfortunate. Like, I think that there are people that also, yeah, experiences through childhood and things like that, and like as kids, a lot of kids are massive worriers, and like they massively rely on their parents and they're not very confident. You've got some kids that are just so out there and confident and, you know, mm-hmm, whatever. And like, I don't think I was really like that as a kid. Like, my brother was the one that was always out there. I think as I got older, I got more confident, but I was there was definitely a time where I was very like, you know, cared about what other people thought and things. And like, you know, I'd always be with my parents or whatever, but they pushed me to kind of like go out and be my own person. But obviously, yeah, then it's kind of like, well, if these people have felt that way since they were a kid, like, how do they really change those kind of like innate feelings and thoughts within them? Like, it's so difficult. Also, you have people that have, you know, anxiety, and that's what drives kind of like how worried they are, because a lot of people worry about the effects all the time of something's going to happen and of their actions of like, I don't know, it just sounds fucking exhausting, to be honest.
It is exhausting, I know that. Like, if I've been in that, you know, that situation for a period of time or whatever, then let me tell you, it's exhausting. Like, it can be all consuming. It's crazy. There's actually a study, Soph, that, yeah, basically Harvard Business have come out with. It's like the Harvard Business Review, and it basically suggests that there are four stages of worrying from the ages of 25 to 35. So exactly as we are. I think, do you reckon you could like kind of guess what you reckon any of them might be? So like the four stages in this period of your life that of things that you would worry about.
Work.
No.
What?
No. Apparently not. It's not in there really.
Family?
Yes, like relationships, family, yeah.
Yeah, really, and also relationship like with a partner rather than family, or are they under the same?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the number one thing, you know, that people are kind of like worrying about, or the stages that worrying kind of like, I guess, is what would you call that? Highlighted? No, like I don't really know. Like, you're really worrying, basically. Number one is being locked into a commitment. So whether that's a relationship, housing, or a job. So like when you're getting locked into a commitment, apparently that's one of the four stages that you're really going to worry. And then ironically, number two is when you end that commitment and now kind of feeling isolated is then the next stage of worry. And then number three, which I thought was really interesting, it's called internal reflection. So it's basically when you're doing internal reflection, which is followed by exploring new interests. And then number four is emerging from a crisis much happier and with a greater sense of purpose. So that's the kind of four stages, I guess, as you're kind of going through 25 to 35. So I think the idea is like, you know, you've got the commitment, you're worried about locking it in, then the next worry is when it ends and then you're feeling isolated. Then the next stage, I guess, that you go through is the internal reflection. And then you explore all the new interests. And then the fourth is obviously when you're kind of coming out of the crisis and you're kind of
happier. So it's like the process of dealing with
the worries between, yeah. Really interesting, isn't it? It's like, how is it that then we worry about getting the commitment, then we worry about when we come out of it, then we worry, you know?
It's never ending.
Never ends. I'd agree with that, though. I would say that those things, being locked into commitment, is a big thing. I always call myself a commitment phobe. I don't think it's not something I'm proud of, and we're working on it. But I think, yeah, I am a bit of a commitment phobe with jobs, with relationships, which is hilarious because I'm in a long-term relationship. But I do think that, like, yeah, what naturally people kind of go, oh, I really want to do that. I'm like, that scares me.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a commitment phobe. Like, I think I'm very much like a take it as it comes, and I'm not scared to like make a commitment. But at that age, there are a lot of people that are, and also not to generalize, but I do feel like males find that difficult as well, committing to something at that age.
Well, I'm definitely on the male spectrum on that side. Spectrum, is that even the way to say it? I'm definitely, but anything that's forever scares me and makes me worry, anything. Really? That's why I don't have a tattoo.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, see, I'm quite a big risk taker though.
See, I would say I am, but in my head, it doesn't feel like a risk. So like, so what I mean by that is people will say, oh, you're really out there. You really just go for it. Or you just move and you do this. Like my actions look quite like risky to other people, but because they don't feel risky to me.
Yeah.
Then, yeah. Whereas I'll worry about other things that people, like normal people or people that maybe aren't necessarily like worrying that way would think is totally normal. And I struggle.
That's interesting. I kind of resonate with that. Like, I think I'm similar. Like, those big things, I'll just do. Marry a stranger, move my whole life.
Yeah, see, that's fucking mental to me. No.
Someone called me crazy the other day, and I was like, but it's not, though. And they were like, it's fucking nuts.
Yeah.
I was like, is it?
Yeah, it's not great. It's a bit mental.
But it's not to me, though. How weird.
How weird.
That's probably, I am a weirdo that would do that, though. I did do it.
Yeah, but for me, I think, right, so this is what's, right, so take Married at First Sight, perfect example, right, just while we're on topic. If I was to go marry a stranger, what people would be scared of is like, oh my goodness, I'm going to marry a stranger, that's what I'm worried about, like, are they going to like me, you know, do I look all right, is that that part I wouldn't worry about. What would worry me is like, is it forever?
Right.
That's the bit that would worry me.
Yeah, you have an issue with forever things, faux show. Yeah. I mean, I get it though.
Am I in therapy right now?
That's what these sessions are.
This is our therapy, to be fair, isn't it?
See, it's funny because like you don't get legally married. But again, I would have signed the paper. I don't give
a
fuck.
No, would you?
Yes.
So favorite.
I know. But I had full faith in the process. I fully thought I was going to be with the person. And then I thought, even if I wasn't, that small percentage, they're going to sort the divorce anyway. Like, I agreed to do it. Like, I agreed to marry a stranger. Like, why not go the full hook? Like, but I know other people on the cast were like, no fucking way would I have done it.
Yeah, me neither.
Weird.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that's why, like, I really want to be a mum, but then the commitment scares me. Like, I'm like, you can't take it back. That's it. Like, I don't want this one, thank you. You can't do that. And then like marriage even scares me a little bit, like the commitment of it.
Yeah, that's fair though. Like, these are huge things. Like, this is not like, you know, these aren't small little things, so I do understand. I think he's mad how everyone's so different, honestly.
I would love to go back to the beginning of this episode exactly 33 minutes ago and hear me say, I'm not really a worrier.
No, yeah. we've broken it down so much. We're like, thing is though, I mean, worrying is a difficult one. I think that it's consuming a lot of people. And I think especially like, you know, the pandemic and stuff like that, like, to be fair, I worried a lot then. Like, that was a really, really, like, upsetting, difficult time in life. And I think that that probably did affect a lot of people, like, how they approach things moving forward. Like, I think a lot more people probably did become, like, worriers and, you know.
Oh, yeah. I honestly do think that is a thing.
Yeah.
Like, I think it changed so many people forever. It was brutal. And it wasn't the staying in your house. Of course, it wasn't that. Although that's not great, but it was everything that came with it. It was
the
financial worry, the fact you couldn't even book a holiday without, you know, if you could go, could you not go? It was just like, you couldn't even go out for a pint with your friend. I don't drink pints, if I did. They couldn't, you know, like, it was just, you're so right. It was just consumed by worry.
I was Googling the death toll every day.
Oh my gosh.
Go up, like, it was like, I know, it was like that thing in Harry Potter where they're like, listening to the radio, and it's like, you know, all the people listening, all the people that had died. And I was just like, this is what it feels like. It was just, it was wild.
Yeah, that's so true. I forgot about that. I would say, though, like, kind of top tips to take away. If you are inherently a worrier, if you know, if you are, or you're finding yourself just worrying a little bit more than maybe you should, I do think a perfect way to kind of get started is make sure you're getting enough sleep. I think that when you're tired, it's such a mum thing to say, everything seems worse.
Yeah.
Like, it just does. And I've realized that, especially like, I've been working a lot lately, and I'm like, I can actually see myself worrying about things that aren't necessary to worry about just because I'm tired.
Yeah.
So I think that might be a really basic place to start, is to kind of like make sure you're kind of getting enough sleep. And also, I think for me, if I find myself like unduly worrying, I kind of try and bring myself as much back to the present as I possibly can, without getting too hippy on it, but kind of thinking of things that you're kind of grateful for. And just,
yeah,
that it does seem very hippy, and I know every single self-help person will tell you that, but there is, on a basic level, like, I found myself overwhelmed when I came out of work. Even today, I came out of work today, and it was just one of those shows where my brain had just been on for hours. And
that,
I did this really random thing where I got off the train, and like, as I was walking up the steps, I was like, let's just put away the phone. That's another one to do if you're a worrier.
That's what I was going to, I was going to say the phone.
Yeah.
My mum keeps telling me to do it. She's like, put that phone away. Like, I am addicted at the moment because my life revolves around a lot of it. And like, problem is, because of how my brain works, it's so scattered. Like, I'm like this. Mm-hmm. I'm like looking at one thing, looking at another, And like, there's so many things going on in my brain that I do genuinely have to think about and plan and this, that, the other. And it's just a lot, and I just need to take a fucking break sometimes.
No, I think you're absolutely right. I just love how loaded that was. I just need to take a break.
I do, though. I do think it's actually damaging me at the moment. Like, it's difficult because I can't switch off. Like, everything is like, okay, I've got this event then, and I then need to pick an outfit, and right, okay, I need to look for that, and I need to do a bit of content for this and sign this off and creative brief for that, and and a work thing there, and a this, and an email, and the amount of, I need to write a list after this, actually, sorry.
Oh, funny. Well, my little tip of getting into the present, really simple way of doing it, I literally did it as I came off the train today. Put the phone in my pocket, because I realised I just sat the whole journey home on the phone.
Yeah.
Put it in my pocket, and then I literally started counting the steps. So basically, you have to like go up and over the train station. I was like, I'm going to count every step until I get to my car. Oh my gosh, honestly, I cannot tell you how much it brings to the present. It's such a simple, simple thing.
I'm
not saying it's going to change, you know, your life and like everything. I'm sure there's plenty that you're worrying about. It's absolutely necessary. You know what I mean? And that you need to. But it just takes you back to the present just for a moment. And it kind of worked for me just getting into the car. I literally counted my steps all the way home.
Yeah. Gosh.
And it really helped.
I'm just trying to really that. Helped. Yeah. If you were.
What's up, guys?
Yeah, top tip. But yeah, if you are worrying a lot, guys, feel free to reach out to us. We're always here if you need to chat. But yeah, maybe try and put those tips in place. But there's definitely things I need to work on.
Yeah, I think the phone's a big one. I've definitely woken up like after a couple of weeks and been like, I've not been living my life. I've been living it through this phone.
Yeah.
And on that note, no need to worry.
Yeah, everybody just stop. Pretty one.
No, I'm joking. No, I'm glad we did that one, because it is something that I think is, well, we're becoming the worrying generation, as they're telling us.
Yeah, let's break the mold.
Let's break the mold, and we will see you back here next Tuesday with another episode of Loose Lips. Don't forget to join us on Friday. We also have our extra lippy, which is basically where we get into, I guess, your worries and concerns and your fun little messages that you also send us. So keep them coming.
Yeah, please do. And you can send them to the Instagram at the Loose Lips Podcast, or the email contact@theloosenipspodcast.com. Or feel free to send us messages on our personal emails at Robin Richford with a Y, or at Sophie H.L. Brown.
Beautifully done, Sophie. You did it. Okay, see you next Tuesday. Bye.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. and is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.